And now, ladies and gentlemen, for the handful in attendance and the millions listening on the web on skidrow.la, this is Mat Time Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Mat Time Radio.
Yes, sir.
I'm Rich.
I'm Grail.
And I'm your resident boxing guy, Hector.
And we got a full house in the studio tonight.
Stacked in here. Party central.
Tell them who's with us, Grail.
All right, man. We got a good buddy over at Decom Clothing. Bought some guys in that he sponsored, man. So I just wrote down the list real quick. We've got Larry, the Body Snatcher Cervantes. Say what's up, Larry.
What's up, what's up?
We've also got, I'm going to butcher your last name, Santiago. Santiago El Lobito. Tell me the last name.
Guevara.
Guevara is in the house. Say what's up, Santiago.
What's up, what's up?
And we also got Luis the Mayor Mora in the house.
What's up, what's up, what's up?
Just got done fighting a couple days ago. Looks like it too, buddy.
That's sexy, huh?
And you know it. Get on stage now. All right, man. All right, man. Watch. Welcome, guys. Go ahead, Rich.
No, just on the, you know, the hot... topics of the weekend, Margarito fight.
Fight.
You know, actually, I think that's, you know, big news.
You guys watch the fights?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I miss it.
You missed it.
I was at the Abner Mattis fight.
Yeah, that's, you know, I was at the Morris fight last night and I TiVo'd the Margarito fight.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so.
Give me a copy.
Bootleg, bootleg.
Bootleg, bootleg, hey. Yeah. But yeah, last night, Madison Square Garden. Well, we'll start with Cota Margarito. That's a hot topic. Last night, Madison Square Garden. 20,000 fans in attendance, mostly Puerto Ricans, of course, to watch Miguel Cotto successfully defend his WBA super welterweight title, 10th round TKO over Antonio Margarito, and he gets some redemption. Stopped him in the 10th round. Apparently, a doctor stops the fight. Bad, bad swelling over the right eye of Margarito. And that's the same eye that Manny Pacquiao had busted up, broken orbital bone. Although I had a couple of questions with the stoppage. I think that because of the fact it was Margarito and he had surgery on it before, that they jumped the gun a little quicker, because the fight before that they had John Murray against Brandon Rios, and Brandon just massacred this kid and left him a lot worse than what Margarito was, and they let that fight continue a little longer.
And with Margarito, I know since he had that eye surgery and everything, did he have any warm-up fights before this one, or did he come off an injury and right into this one with Cotto?
No, we'll see. Right after the Pacquiao fight he took about a year off. Yeah, it was November of last year out in Dallas, Texas. So he took the whole year off, and he took this fight right into that. I mean, it was the same pattern as the last fight, but, you know, I got a hand to Cotto. Cotto this time was able to maintain. He had a set game plan. He was going to box, and not get tricked into getting into slugfest with Margarito.
Well, I think one of the interesting things that, you know, what the announcer was saying, he goes, which is not very often that you can see a guy win a fight by running. You know, and it seemed like that's what, you know, really what Cotto was doing and stuff, and he was playing a lot, you know, smarter.
I wouldn't say it was running, because I thought he just boxed an incredible fight. I mean, he landed everything that was effective, and he didn't stand in front of Margarito long enough to let Margarito get his shots off. And still, I mean, it was the same pattern as the last fight. Margarito, he's with Antonio Margarito, you know, he's not particularly fast. He's not particularly powerful. What Margarito's strength is, he's got incredible stamina, and he's a volume puncher. He doesn't stop throwing punches. CompuBox had him throwing 700 punches in yesterday's fight when they stopped it. So with Margarito, it's like, I'm not, you know, it's not going to be pretty, but I'm just not going to stop throwing.
Right. And for you guys to thought, what do you guys think?
Well, I actually didn't get to see it, man. But I want to.
hey, why don't you tell the guys why you didn't get to see it, Luis?
I was at the Abner Mattis fight.
And then you also just had a fight, right?
Yeah, I had to rest up, man. I get like 10, 12 hours of rest right now. Maybe, you know, sleeping could make it heal faster or something.
so, Luis, you just fought at on Thursday's card, right?
Nokia, yeah.
Nokia.
Yeah,
I was the opening bout from the TP bout for the night.
Nice, okay.
And what weight class were you in?
Light welterweight, 141.
141. Okay, yeah. And that was boxing or MMA? I'm sorry.
Boxing.
Boxing, okay.
Yeah, we got all boxers in the house today.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Obviously, you guys you guys can't see what Lewis looks like, man, but he's got some shiners that he's probably working on healing. And
you know,
but he doesn't look anywhere near as bad as Margarito did today. But
that's a good thing.
Yeah, well, he didn't get paid what Margarito got paid, probably.
Yeah. in due time.
Probably Lovito wins that money right now.
Well, another topic, too, for over the weekend, tough finale. Yeah, Mayhem Miller, you know.
That was whack.
Watch it. What happened?
Not very impressive. And actually, Dana White said he doesn't think he's going to bring Mayhem back, really. He hasn't really shown anything.
Well, he was like taking deep breaths on the way into the cage, so he's probably had adrenaline dump before he even got in the cage. You guys ever had that before?
No, not really.
No adrenaline dump?
No.
Oh man, seasoned veterans over here.
No. It's all that sparring. So
I think so.
Stop by Maywood sometime, dude. You'll see.
Yeah, I was just telling my teammate Lobito right now that I've got hit harder sparring than in my fight. And I'm not wearing a headgear. You got to remember that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So when you
get to the fight, then no headgear, smaller gloves.
Yeah. I mean, your body gets hot, man, after the first round of taking punches. It makes it easier just to like take them. Not that I want to, you know what I mean? But it just happens like that. And
well, the only reason I say that is, I mean, you know, Rich and I mean, we go through hours and hours of training, but sometimes you get on that stage and you still get a dump, man. I've been there where you're like, your forearms are hurt. I mean, we do obviously jiu-jitsu tournaments are a little different where you're talking about, you know, 6-7 1-minute rounds, and then you win, you go on, you lose, you're out. But I can probably understand, like, how that dude, the UFC is a big venue, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it'd probably be good. It'd probably be like going from the Azteca gym to the MGM Grand, right?
Well, I mean,
that's
a smaller venue. If you've ever been to the fights at Maywood, you know, dude. I mean,
yeah.
Well, they're going to a bigger venue, but I mean, with most time during fights, bro, I've seen guys, it's just, boom, it's just another day out, dude.
And, you know, in your boxing training, I'm always curious to see how you guys split up your training. You know, a lot of people are really big on just, you know, live sparring. Other people are really big on drilling technique. How do you guys split it up?
Well, I personally believe in conditioning. Mm-hmm. Your running game, I think it's a key in boxing. If you have no condition, you could lose to the worst fighter out there.
Right.
That's probably just what happened with Mayhem. Not that Bisbing was the worst, but you're probably exactly right. I mean cardio is pretty important.
Skills can get you so far, but if you have someone in front of you that just keeps coming, you're out.
It's I like that he brings that up. It's, you know, Javier Capetillo, the guy who used to train Margarito, all his fighters. It's funny, guys who start training with him, the first thing he tells them is, look, I'm not going to teach you how to throw a punch, because if you haven't learned by now, you're never going to learn. But one thing with me, you are going to be conditioned. Mm-hmm. Every day he takes his fighters up to Big Bear, running up there in the mountains, brings them down. Every fighter that he has, you know that they're going to come in shape to fight. Margarito was a perfect example of one of the fighters. He, you know, his conditioning, you know, always throwing volume. I mean, Jesus Soto Caraz is another one.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's training Giovanni Segura. That's another guy he's got up there. Miguel Vasquez, two world champions. Those guys are just, you know, their conditioning is what sets them apart from other fighters. They may not be technically not the best fighters, but their conditioning, it more than makes up for it.
So then you would say now, I guess, a bigger thing is really going to be strength and conditioning. Is that something you guys are really accusing? I've noticed, you know, a lot of these guys too, they're looking to other ways for strength and conditioning. They're getting these strength and conditioning coaches. They're doing the plyos. They're doing, you know, all these different things that boxers didn't really do before. You know, it seems like they're bringing that into, you know, the sport. And I guess in Cotto's case, this time around, it looked like it helped, you know.
Yeah, it did.
You know, yeah, definitely. All the sports that, you know, now are really, you know, taking advantage of that strength and conditioning, you know, it's getting, you know, bigger and bigger and stuff. And, you got to keep it diverse, you know.
Dude, you want to talk about a guy who, I mean, his conditioning showed last night in Anaheim. Dude, Abner. Abner Matiz, he defended his IBF bantamweight title in a rematch against Ghana's Joseph King Kong Egbeko. And I don't know if you saw the first fight. First fight was in Vegas, and there was a lot of controversy because of
low blows.
A lot of low blows that the referee missed. This time, I mean, he kept it out of the ref's hands. Abner just boxed such a great fight against a guy I thought he was going to lose to. I really thought Beckham was going to beat him. And no way, dominated. 118, 110 scorecards all the way across. And the other guy then pressed me on the undercard. Anselmo Moreno defending his world title against Victor Arcinian. Where did this guy come out of?
I don't know.
Dude, he just dominated Vic. Dude.
I never heard of him.
Well, before. Funny thing. Here it is. Funny thing. 2 weeks ago, I'm at Azteca Boxing Club with Danny Mota, and Golden Boy had set a street team over there. And these were all guys that were in Anselmo's corner. And they're like, hey, let us advertise, and here's 20 tickets to the fight. Oh, okay, great. Boom. Anselmo was there with him. I'm like, dude, this is the guy that's going to fight Vic? No way, dude. He's going to get beat.
Party foul.
I was like, this guy's going to get beat. And then I'm watching him last night, just schooling him. I mean, everything, dude. They even deducted a point from Victor Arcinian. But then when I heard the scorecards, 116, 111, 117, 110, 120, 107, just a shutout. Impressive.
And Lewis, how many rounds was your fight?
Four
rounds. Is that standard usually? Or?
Yeah, it was my second fight. So yeah, the first couple of fights, it was four rounds, and then just you keep adding two rounds, uh-huh, to eventually get to 12.
Oh, okay. So from like the amateurs up to the pros, that's when they start to add rounds.
Yeah.
Well, explain that to me again. So this is your second fight of four rounds?
Yeah, it's my second fight.
Okay.
My first fight, I won by TKO. They stopped the fight. It was actually like, I'm not going to say like super easy, but it was easy, you know?
First round?
Yeah, first round. So I didn't really get to see like any mistakes. And this last fight lasted four rounds. I seen all my mistakes because I was able to, actually sit down in my house and practice that tape and just look at it. Be like, damn, look at all the mistakes I made, you know?
Yeah.
So it helps out because my next fight is going to be different, you know?
Yeah. So I know we got El Lobito over here who does cardio all day. What do you do for cardio? Do you do cardio, or do you more boxing, or
I run.
You run?
Yeah, I try to like, as much as I train in the gym, it's as much as I'm gonna run.
But do you guys lift weights at all, or do you guys do more just?
No. I think for like a combat sport, it's not really to your benefit to.
Well, especially if you gotta weigh in, because you can't be all that mass.
Not just your mass. It slows you down. You become powerful, but after throwing three or four shots, you're gassed out. So it's better for you to just to be crisp, and I do a lot of pull-ups, body weight.
Yeah, a lot of plyometric stuff.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Same here. I mean, yeah. I like to do pull-ups and just push-ups, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
As far as I go. I mean, if I can't pick myself up, I don't want to be trying to pick up heavier weight.
Yeah. What about you, Larry?
I do push-ups, sit-ups, pull-ups, dips, weights.
Pretty much the same workout, yeah. Right? All plyometric stuff, like all body weight.
Yeah.
The jail workout, we call it.
Squats without weight, just.
Well, I think too, doing a lot of body weight stuff, it's a good gauge, to know how your progress is going. Because, you're used to doing, 15 pull-ups, and then, you start counting them and stuff. And then you notice, like, maybe the next week, oh, I can only do 14, I can only do 13. It's either I'm losing muscle or I'm gaining weight. And you can kind of gauge your progress too, or if you're going to be able to do more. So, I'm a real big believer in the body weight stuff too.
I just think you just got to, push yourself. Like, you don't need to do, I mean, to me, I don't like to do sets. I just, go all out till it hurts, Because, mm-hmm. That's when you're working out. When you're hurting, you can't go anymore.
Do you think that's more important for the fatigue factor in boxing? If you're just throwing punches, just to throw punches, at some point you'll lose aspects of technique in the punch. Unless you do them 1,000 times, I guess, is a...
Yeah, but I mean, it's just something some people do, and people change routines. Some people do the same thing, just different ways.
Yeah.
So I guess everybody has their own way,
Well, I know, like, when I wrestled, we would do we would do takedowns, like 1,000 takedowns.
Jesus.
Or throws, just 1,000 throws, and the point of that, it was probably, I mean, I don't box, but I always hear the guys yelling out combinations to throw. So mentally, you already know 3-2-1 or 2-2-5.
Teddy. That's like Teddy Atlas. Dude. He yells that a lot, right. Dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny. Like, they ask me, oh, when we're yelling, telling you what to do, do you hear it? Yeah, I hear it. Do you do it? I don't even know. I seriously tell them, because you don't know. I mean, you're up there. Your mind's in another place, You can hear it, but... Sometimes, I mean, of course you do it and it works and then you're like, oh man. Then you try to listen to everything, doesn't go that way either.
Well, because I think that's in every sport, right? Like, yeah. If you get too many commands from the side, you're just like, oh, man.
And I think it's a skill, actually, too, to even, like, you know, developing that ear for your coach and everything. In the beginning, I really never heard it. And in my, you know, my coach, and the way he's, you can hear him across, you know, a crowded auditorium. Mm-hmm. You know when he's coaching and stuff. But, yeah, it took me a while to tune in, you know, to hear him and stuff.
No, I feel you. My teammate, Charles Huerta, he's the one that actually mentioned that to me. He's like, I don't hear anybody's voice but my dad's. Yeah. My dad tells me something, that's who I'm hearing. I don't hear anybody else. And I was like, damn, that's a good little technique. I need to learn that one because I hear everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, well, kind of too, you know, I wanted to get back to the rounds. I know, you know, there's a lot of differences, and I wanted to get your guys' all opinion on it too, how, like in MMA, you know, there's three rounds. And a lot of people are saying it's kind of really ineffective as far as like scoring for like a 10, you know, like a 10-9 scoring system. Mm-hmm. It's kind of something that's really more for boxing where you can go this, you know, those longer sets of rounds and stuff. In MMA, it doesn't seem to be very effective. But what do you guys think?
I actually didn't even know about this.
Well, I mean, the 10-point mud system in boxing, I guess it works because you're dealing specifically with stand-up combat. MMA, you've got the whole element of takedowns. Sometimes I question, like, MMA, when I see one takedown executed and they give more weight to that takedown than it really deserves.
Well, I look at that, like, if you have a full, I agree with what you're saying, because I think if a guy just beats you up on boxing and you take him down, I don't think you should win a 10-9 round on that. I think the guy who obviously hit the most punches or did some damage.
But it seems like in scoring with only three rounds, it seems really hard to score a fight that's really close, you know, and almost it seems like, they, you know, I've heard about, you know, it just comes down to them flipping a coin. But in boxing, when you go a full, you know, 12 rounds and stuff, it's very easy. It's a lot easier to score when a match is, you know, really close.
Well, how about Lewis, man? He went four rounds and got a draw.
Yeah, well, actually, they gave me the win.
They did.
They changed it after, you know, they did wrong scoring. I don't know how.
This is one thing that, it, like, especially with the State Athletic Commission, like, I just don't understand is when they mess up on scoring, because our scoring system, really, it's idiot proof. It is wrong.
I mean, that's what I said. In between rounds, you guys, really,
you see the ref, he goes to each judge. Takes a scorecard from them, a different colored scorecard, one red, one white, one blue, goes to the scorekeeper. Scorekeeper looks and he tabs it in three different columns, one red, one white, and one blue. Sometimes it just boggles the mind, dude, that these guys mess up. I don't know if you guys remember Barrera against Rocky Juarez, the first fight.
Yeah, I remember.
Oh, dude, okay, I'm at Staples Center in Press Row. Everyone's leaving. I'm writing an article that I'm about to turn in. And what happens? Larry Merchant comes up and he's like, they just messed up on the scorecard. And we're like, what? What are you talking about? Because they had given a draw. Then they gave the fight to Barrera. HBO had already gone off the air. 50 people at Staples Center. And we're just like, what? Yeah, they changed it. Now Barrera won. What the hell? And it's one thing. Sometimes I don't understand, dude, how they mess up on scoring.
I mean, I would understand 12 rounds, but four rounds?
Four rounds, no.
That's rough. That's rough.
12 rounds. I mean, 12 rounds. All right. You're adding them up. You got wrong, you know?
They don't have a calculator over there? I'm just saying, you know?
Hey, dude, rounds. The economy's tough right now, dude.
I know, man. Every day Abacus. I wake up and I just say, four rounds.
Yeah. Get them a can of beans or something.
Four rounds. Man.
Yeah, that's rough. That's got to mess your psyche too, man. You know, you get there and you think you won. They're like, draw. You're like, oh.
It's all right. Well, actually, I had already received my check, so I was like, oh.
Yeah. Sweet.
I already won.
I got paid. Draw. It's all good.
All right, I guess.
So yeah. What's the next progression for you? When are you going to step up to, you know, the next, where you're going to do more rounds?
Well, I don't know. I leave that really up to my coach and my manager, you know, because they don't know. They know what's best for me. So when they think I'm ready, that's when I'm ready.
Right on. That's good advice for anybody that trains. And we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back in a minute with some more Mat Time Radio.
Yes, sir.
la penca de un maguey tu nombre unido al mío entrelazados como una prueba ante la ley del monte que ahí estuvimos enamorados. Tú misma fuiste quien buscó la penca, la más bonita, la más desperta, y hasta dijiste que también grabara dos corazones con una flecha. Ahora dices que ya no te acuerdas, que nada es cierto, que son palabras. Yo estoy tranquilo porque al fin de cuentas en nuestro idilio las pencas hablan. La misma noche que mi amor cambiaste también cortaste aquella penca. Te imaginaste que si la veía, pa' ti sería como una afrenta. Se te olvidaba que el maguey sabía lo que curaste en nuestra noche. Las pencas nuevas que al maguey le brotan vienen marcadas con nuestros nombres.
All right, we're back.
Ajua. Oh,
wait, wait.
Ajua.
I don't see the recording light on. We are back?
Yeah, we're back.
All right, we're
back. You don't see the light, dude? You don't have your glasses on. That's why we got these glasses, so we can see the light.
Dude.
It came in our Kellogg's box, dude. What were you?
So, Hector, we were talking about scoring during the break, but what else we got, Crail?
I just want to make sure everyone knows they can call the show in. 1-800-893-9562. Yep. Or check us out online at skidrowstudios.com, iTunes.
Facebook.
Stitcher. Twitter. Whatever. Yeah. What do you guys? You guys got any of that stuff?
Facebook.
Just Facebook?
Twitter.
Facebook.
I don't tweet, dude.
Foursquare? No, Nine Square?
Yeah, I have one.
What else? Anything else? All right.
Not that social, I guess.
No.
Like, I'm too busy training.
Too busy training, man. I don't have time for that.
You're not checking in at the gym?
Yeah, when I go on to my Twitter, I'll be like, all right, training time.
Yeah. Yeah. So you put on there?
I'm on break, and then I just
that was a crazy round.
I was already going to ask him to follow you.
Putting my gloves back on. Yeah.
That was a crazy round, pound, or whatever the hell people do on Twitter.
I can't text with these gloves on, man. Yep, those are too big.
Yeah. All right, man. What you got, Richie?
Actually, Hector and I were talking about scoring.
Oh, well, yeah. It was interesting that we were talking about, you know, some of the issues that are brought on with the 10-point must system. And boxing versus MMA, I know it works best for boxing. I knew at one time, maybe about in 2004, the State Athletic Commission here in California, they were actually trying to just testing out a new system, which I thought was pretty interesting. Rather than have three judges, you would have four judges, each one sitting at a different side of the ring. And rather than give out 10 points to the winner, they'd just decide, each judge would decide on his own who they saw win the round, either fighter A or fighter B. And the winner... Between those four judges, if three agreed on one fighter winning, that round would go to that fighter. So effectively, this system would have eliminated the split decision in boxing, mm-hmm. and draws would be a rarity. But what although it didn't catch on for boxing, maybe for MMA, I think this system could work.
Oh, okay. Well, or that probably would have helped you last night too, huh? I mean, if it was like that type of scoring.
Yeah, it actually seems better.
Because draws are a rarity.
And that's, you know, that's trouble. I mean, if they can't count.
Well, it's majority rules.
Yeah, I mean, it's really? a majority rule. For every round, if three out of the four judges agree on it, then boom, that round goes to that fighter.
Yeah, I think maybe you would have a lot of draws. You know.
Well, it would be a more legit draw.
Yeah, that's true.
It'd have to be like, you know, yeah, it'd have to be really clear. I think every decision is going to be really accurate.
Hey, but just drawing off that, how do they do? You know how, like, you guys are always talking about punches landed. Like, how do they compute that?
You
got four judges,
no,
right?
No. Okay, I know, you know, for lots of fans at home, you guys, when you watch a fight on HBO Showtime, you hear CompuBox. Let me dispel the myth of CompuBox. Bob Canobio, he's the gentleman who created CompuBox. By no means is CompuBox accurate. CompuBox is as accurate as you and I keeping hash marks.
Pretty accurate.
Oh, okay. Anyway. Well, no, basically, it's two guys, and the only way to know exactly, you know, how many punches are being landed is watching on slow motion. I mean, going frame by frame by frame. I mean, you'd need to do it afterwards. CompuBox was basically created as more or less a gauge so you could see who may be throwing more punches, but by no means is it accurate. We hear CompuBox and we think, wow, but no, CompuBox is actually... It was actually an old tennis program that Bob Canobio had to gauge how many shots he could hear. You know, which shots were okay when he was practicing with his tennis ball machine, and from there he converted it for boxing. But it's good. I mean, it should give you an idea of who's landing more effectively. And most people don't give it more credit than what it's worth. They hear punches landed. Just because a punch didn't land doesn't mean it didn't hurt. I mean, some punches are blocked, and I mean, you guys know it. Yeah. It's hit my arm.
But how important is it to you guys, like at the end of a fight, like you get your, you know, you're like, oh man, you threw 138 punches and only, you know, 20 landed. I mean, are those pretty good stats? Like, do you guys like to see those stats as boxers?
I've never seen them.
You've never seen them?
I've never seen them.
No, never?
Like our own?
Yeah, stats? Your own. Like, let's just say when you go look at, you know, review the tape or whatever, and they're like, man, you know what? Lobito, you threw 200 punches and you only landed two. You know, work on your accuracy or something.
It could be important and then not, because I mean, I can throw 200 punches in one round, but it depends how many land and how many are accurate and good shots, you know?
Right, but those are important stats for you guys to know, though, right? I mean, do you think or no?
You would think so, but I mean, I think when you go up there, you know yourself if you're doing good or you're doing bad. You know,
or
I mean,
maybe your coach is going to be somebody.
You don't need to check it out. I mean, you know if you did good and you know if you did bad. Yeah.
Well, you ever hear about fighters at Hector asking for their stats at the end of a fight?
No, because keep in mind too, CompuBox isn't everywhere for every fight. CompuBox is usually at the major, at the big fights.
Yeah, but some of these smaller venues, like the ones that you do, they don't have somebody.
You
don't have a guy with a budding lip.
No, but you know what? It's funny because when we've done like the amateur shows, we've done like the amateur shows at the Azteca Boxing Club. You see the amateur judges; that's how they're scoring the fight. They've got two clickers in each hand, and they're scoring how many punches blue or red is doing. But I mean, that's the amateur program. In the pros, I mean, it's hard because also, I mean, just because you throw more punches, which one's more effective? You know. You know, a great example, you guys have seen it, the old fight with Julio Chavez and Meldrick Taylor.
Mm.
Meldrick Taylor was landing four punches for every one that Chavez connected.
Like 5-1.
But it was the damage that Chavez was doing with each one of his punches that was taking away something.
From on the body, right?
Body, head, broke his orbital bone, guy swallowed two pints of his own blood. I mean,
yeah, and actually Meldrick was never the same.
Never the same ever. After that. So it's different. I mean, the punch... It means stats. Yeah, they'll tell you who's landing more punches, but which ones are more effective. And also, like you guys know, some of the punches you guys throw are setup punches to make another guy think, oh, he's coming up this way. Boom, he didn't see this other punch coming.
And training, do you guys all train together? Same gym?
Yeah,
we're all at a Maywood Boxing Club.
We go at different times, different days.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, sometimes I go in the morning.
You guys, any of you guys would ever fight each other?
Yeah, me and Lobito. Lobito knocked me down on my first time we sparred.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. He got me with an uppercut. And I went down.
So training together and stuff, do you feel you kind of pick up on each other's tendencies and stuff?
Yeah,
and,
I mean, we don't really spar often because, you know, he's lighter. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, if we get a chance to, yeah, we'd like to.
Yeah.
But
what about you, Larry? You're all quiet over there, man.
Just listening to the pros.
Yeah.
I sparred Larry before.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, Lewis gave me the privilege.
Oh, do we got a caller on the line? Hello, caller.
Hello.
What up?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Rick.
Hey, who's this? Rich Lopez?
What's up?
What's
going
on?
Yeah, Rich Lopez.
Hey, all right.
Hey, dude, congratulations on your engagement, bro.
Yeah.
No problem, man. Thanks a lot. We're over here. We're missing you guys, man.
Well, save us some food, man.
I know. Yeah. This is our good friend on the line, Rich Lopez from New Breed Academy. He's celebrating his engagement tonight.
Oh, congrats, man.
Oh, congrats. Congratulations.
Congratulations.
I think Rich is calling to get his free decom shirt we're going to hook him up with. Thanks to decom.
That's exactly what I was calling for.
All right, actually, man.
Yeah. At least someone reads our Twitter.
Quick, Louis, start twittering.
Yeah, we'll bring it by. We'll bring it by, dude. We got you taken care of, dude.
Nice,
all right, cool. No, man. Just giving you guys a call to let you guys know we're thinking of you, man. You guys can make it down tonight. Come on down, bro.
For sure.
All right, man. Appreciate that, man. Thanks for listening to the show.
Thanks, guys.
I'll give you $2 later.
Check in the mail.
Peace.
Don't forget a what? Don't forget to bring a bottle with you guys tonight.
Oh, okay.
Nah, I'm not good with you guys. All right, I just
want
to call into the show. Let you guys know.
We'll
say what's up to you guys.
Cool. Thanks for the
call.
I appreciate it, man.
No problem, brother. I'll see you guys later.
All right.
Later.
Take care, man.
All right. Peace.
Yeah. Good buddy. Good buddy from the academy.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, we were talking about like things like that too, sparring with, you know, like our same training partners and stuff. We kind of pick up on each other, like, you know. And as far as like training, do you guys ever cross train at other gyms or other people in your weight class and stuff? Yeah.
We try to do that, you know, before every fight. Mm-hmm. But being from Maywood is hard at times because everybody comes over.
Everyone comes over to Maywood, man.
You know,
you want to see some of the best sparring, bro. Everyone comes over.
Yeah, every day, bro. As soon as you walk in, they're like, "Hey, are you sparring?" Like, damn, dude, let me put my bag down first.
I mean, come on. I mean,
well, that's good for you guys. Then you got a lot of fresh bodies. And
it's good.
I mean, yeah. I know you guys. Some of the more talented fighters that you guys have gotten to spar with. I know you've sparred with former world champion Daniel Ponce de León.
Who are you talking to?
Santiago.
Larry. Oh, come on, Santiago.
No, Santiago. Sorry. But I know you've sparred with
Daniel. You're like a scorekeeper, dude. Getting it wrong.
I'm sorry, dude.
What's going on over here, dude? I'm boxing guy.
Yeah, I've had the pleasure to spar a few.
Dude, if you spar Ponce, that's no pleasure, dude. Anybody that hits as hard as Ponce, dude, there's no pleasure in sparring that guy.
It just makes my game better, bro. That's it.
How about you, Luis?
I spar Aaron.
Aaron Martinez, that's right. Won his last fight on ESPN.
Yeah, he was a good sparring man. Real good.
All right, and Larry, what about you?
The best one I sparred with was Lewis. I'm just starting off amateur, so I'm still working my way up.
Okay.
And he was throwing like 500 punches a round. You know? Like the amateurs.
Like the amateurs. He's like, thank you, Chris.
And I landed maybe half of them.
Yeah, that's so good.
We'll get 500. We'll get copy box, dude. We'll
and, 50. Tell us how everything came about and you guys got connected with DCOMP.
Well, actually, I met DCOMP through Larry, and it was like a week before my first fight, you know, at the gym, and they were there, so we exchanged information, and he made my shirts quick, like from one day to another, you know.
Uh-huh. So they do all your fight shirts and everything.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. And you, Santiago?
Sponsors, so.
Same thing. Same.
Oh, right on.
You know, they do a really good job, and. You'd be surprised, you know, I have a lot of, after this second fight, I have a lot of family members and friends who are asking me for the shirts.
Uh-huh.
We don't have any because we sold out, but we will have
and
you don't sell out, you call that a limited run so you can get more money next time.
Bingo. Yeah, limited edition.
limited edition.
That's right.
Just exclusive. Put a number on each tag.
Just get a Sharpie and tag, you know.
Yeah, but you know, but just on that alone, I know DCOMP does a lot of stuff. I guess I know you guys are all boxers and he does a lot of MMA guys too, so you know, good looking out for DCOMP.
Oh yeah.
He's all quiet and stuff.
Shout outs.
I know.
He's all quiet.
But who has fights coming up? Anything planned?
Well, me and Luis have fought. Our both fights have been the same day. Mm-hmm. I actually just fought this past Thursday.
Oh, you guys fought the same day?
Yeah, I was on the same card.
Oh, you were? Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we tag team. Nah, that's fine. Yeah. He tagged me in. I took all the punches and he came back in.
Is that what happened?
Yeah, and he finished it off and we left home.
You guys did an excellent job.
With a check.
How'd your fight go?
I got a second round TKO.
Okay.
Yeah, it was pretty nice.
Well, how long are your rounds?
4 rounds.
No, how long?
4 3-minute rounds.
3 minutes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so, they're not that long.
That's a long time, man, to throw punches.
When you're in there, it feels like 10 minutes.
No, I don't care what anybody says. You get in there for a minute, it's a long time.
That's
you know?
What I meant. Especially it's not if that the guy's longer.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's like, you sit there, and some people think it's not a long time, but when you're in there trying to defend yourself, because.
You're just waiting for the little 10 second bell.
It's funny because in between the round, that 1 minute goes by.
It's like 5 seconds.
It's like 5 seconds. It's just boom. It's. Water, try to listen to what your coach is telling you, and boom, get back out there.
Yeah. I wonder if you'd be better without a 10-second bell. Just what like, just keep going.
Oh, no.
Nah, you need
why not?
Nah.
Mix it up a little, man.
What was the whole purpose of that thing anyway?
The 10-second bell? So the referee will be on his toes to get in there to stop the action as soon as that round is over.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Why can't they just give him a beeper from J&J?
Stop it. I am the king.
Just beep him 10 seconds before.
Huh. You know what I like about live events? It's funny, you know, I mean, there's always the crowd that pumps it up a little bit more than what it is, and that's the good part. Like, you know, they're more interesting when you go live because, you know, the crowd always makes them funner. We're watching, like, the screen of on top yesterday at the Modest fight.
Yeah.
They're, like, so boring. But as soon as you hear the crowd going, man, the crowd doesn't stop.
Yeah,
from the beginning to the end, they're especially talking smack.
Especially yesterday, because you had all of Hawaiian Gardens there, dude. You know, Abner's from Hawaiian Gardens. So everyone from Hawaiian Gardens was out there, you know, backing him up.
Yeah, and you talk about a place that's so opposite his name, you know, Hawaiian Gardens.
Well, dude, there was a bunch of, back in the day, I'm not... Like when we were in high school and stuff, like that was all Samoans and stuff up in Hawaiian Gardens.
Yeah.
I don't think you'll find any Samoans there now.
Nah.
The only Samoans I know are in Hawaii.
They're from Samoa. Yeah.
When they die, they throw them out into the ocean, make new islands. What?
Hey, we're gonna take a quick break here, but when we come back, I want to make sure we go through each one of you guys and maybe ask about... I mean, we asked about fights, but make sure you guys get any of the sponsors you guys got out there and see what you guys got coming up in the woodwork.
Yeah, so. And we're going to take another minute, and we'll be back with some more Mat Time Radio.
Who's just getting over on the rust.
Yeah. This is for the Raza. Yeah. This is for the Raza. Yeah. This is for the Raza. Those cholos, you call us what you will. You say we are assassins and you're about to kill. It's in my blood to be an Aztec warrior. Go to any extreme and hold no barriers. Chicano, and I'm brown and proud. Want this chingazo, Simone, so let's get down. Right now, in the dirt. What's the matter? You afraid you're gonna get hurt? I'm with my homeboys, my ties, my camaradas. Kicking back on mi ganga y pa' mi no diga nada. Yo soy chingón ese, like a Capone ese. Control a todo solo, never try to sweat me. Some of you don't know what's happening, que pasa's not for you anyway. Cause this is for the raza. This is for the raza.
foreign tongue I'm speaking is known as Galo. Y sabes que el loco, yo soy muy malo. Tú no sabes, now that your brain is hollow, been hitting the head too many times with a follow. Still you're trying to act cool, but you should know. You're so cool that I'ma call you a culo. You're just a peewee, you can't get none ever, ever. You're on the lever. Your own rider doesn't back you up. They just look at your ass and call you a poo butt. And so I look and I laugh and say, ¿qué pasa? Yeah, this is for the raza. Raza, raza,
raza. Hey homie, I'm getting tired of dudes just getting over on the raza. Solo, and when I go out alone, I pack. I don't sweat the chivalas when I know that I'm strapped. Every time that I pack my piece, I pull it out quick and all the nonsense will cease. Just like the song when you're 18 with a bullet, got my finger on the trigger and not afraid to pull it. If it gets out of hand, I know some mafiosos who can pull out weapons on some stupid ass baboso. Sitting there wondering what's happening, que pasa? Yeah, this is for the raza.
Yeah, hanging out with our friends.
Raza.
Hanging out with our friends from DCOM Clothing. And just let everyone know, too, we are live. Call the show, 1-800-893-9562. Or if you have any questions for our fighters that we have in studio, hit us up on Twitter or on Facebook, and we'll put your question out there.
Yeah, or if you want to see what these guys look like, I know DCOM Clothing will have some stuff up. You can probably catch DCOMClothing.com.
You got to take a picture now, then, because I'm going to look different next time.
What? Well, we're going to be able to see his eyes next time.
So sorry, he's got a hat on. I can't even see it now.
I can really flip it.
What do you got? What do you got working your corner, working cuts?
Cuts? My coach, Pablo Rubio.
Yeah. Okay.
And Ramon Morales.
Yukita?
You got two guys working cuts over there?
Yep.
I bet you Lobito has nobody, huh?
No, Lobito has like four.
I'm just kidding. He's famous. I'm just saying, he's looking out.
Dude, Yukita, much love to that guy.
Yeah.
That guy.
I also had Saravia, which is Lobito's coach.
But Yukita, dude, that guy.
You guys both been cut in a fight before? Or no. All three of you guys, anybody been cut before?
No, I've never been cut.
I haven't been cut.
I was close. I mean, it looks like it, right?
No, I mean, it doesn't look that bad. I've seen worse.
Yeah, it was actually, I've been icing it a lot, so.
You have a lot of swelling?
I had. Oh. It's going down. I mean.
Yeah, I always know they always talk about how important a cut guy is when you really need him.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we have three left.
No, I was just joking about that. I'm just saying because you guys had a fight the same day, but Santiago over here looks like he just got off the bus, all cool.
Yeah. No, dude.
That was me the first
time. It looks like he just got out of the spot.
Yeah.
It was funny because the first time we fought at Club Nokia, he was first for the night, and I was last, you know? So I was like, damn. But he had got a couple hits. And my fight only lasted 2 minutes. I didn't even get hit. I was like, damn, this was an easy check. And this time, he felt what I felt last time, you know? And
The roles reversed this time, huh?
Yeah. What'd you guys do for walkout music this fight?
Well, you know what? They didn't even play it. Like,
yeah, they messed up.
You know?
I was kind of bummed. They didn't even play it.
No? You just walked out there?
Yeah, you just walk out there, you know? You just got to sing a song in your head again.
Well, see, I've gone to the shows at Club Nokia. Thing is, the venue's kind of weird. Like, you know, you have to walk out onto the stage. You know, you're not walking into the ring. It's the ring's already there. It's like, all right.
Oh, it's a real short walk.
Yeah, it is.
Not enough to really play.
Well, because the ring is up on a stage, and everyone else is on the floor looking down. Unless you get a seat up on top from the balcony, looking down at it,
like they do it at the Shrine.
I've never been to the. I haven't seen a fight at the Shrine.
They should walk us out of the restroom so we can have a long walk. You know, let our song play and then go up the ring.
Yeah, but you know what? The crowd is crazy, dude. You don't want to risk that.
You can't come in with like a big, you know, a big like cool, conga line and stuff. It's like only like maybe two people.
Like the Gracie train.
Yeah, exactly. Gracie train.
Or band. I would just bring in a band next time.
But the crowd at Club Nokia is like, it pumps you up. You know,
it's electrifying. Like,
it's crazy.
Yeah. What are these fights where you're always talking about, like at a Club Azteca, like the 20 plus fights?
And oh, yeah. That's usually the amateur show.
I mean, would they play any music for those guys or
no? No. But it's funny. You know what? There's one kid there, dude. Carlos Gonzalez and his primos have a conjunto norteño, and they come and they play music for him. Dude, it's the funniest thing, dude. But the kid's an exciting fighter, man. But no, I mean that's the USA Boxing. It's a different deal.
So was that like a smoker that you're talking about?
No, well, nah, I wouldn't call it a smoker. These are actually sanctioned bouts with USA Boxing. Mm-hmm. I mean, most kids from there go on to regionals.
Well, do smokers happen in boxing, or is that like just a Muay Thai
thing? No. Smokers still happen in boxing. Boxing.
Oh, okay.
Smokers are fun too, though, dude. Just all round fights, man.
Well, why don't you explain what a smoker is to someone who don't know what that is?
A smoker. It's like an amateur fight. Usually,
like an in-house tournament. Mm-hmm. What we would call an in-house tournament.
Okay.
There you go.
But because a lot of them are not like sanctioned. It's kind of an underground thing, like a speakeasy thing. You don't advertise it really because a lot of it, you know, it's illegal to have and things like that. So it's really kind of like a, you know.
Okay.
You got to keep it low. And
they still happen.
They get paid for those or no? It's just more of like for the experience.
Well, I don't want to give too many details out, but yeah, there's money involved.
Yeah, there's money.
But all the ones you've been to with no money, right, Hector?
Yes, that's right, Chris. Thank you.
There's some type of currency flowing.
Yeah.
It's like all those.
What about the non-smokers?
They're outside.
They're outside.
Right on. And now, what do you guys think? Everybody, do you think we're going to see Margarito again after this last fight?
Not anytime soon.
Not a big fight.
That eye was pretty bad.
Well, I didn't even see him.
I mean, the eye was bad. I've seen worse. But the fact that it was in New York, I figured, you know what? Had it been in any other jurisdiction, I think the fight continues. Because three times I asked him, "Can you see my fingers?" And he answered, "Yes, I see three fingers. Yeah. And they still stopped it.
Was it really that bad? I didn't see the fight either.
It was bad.
I was watching Lewis's
but
fight.
So
I didn't see the fight.
It was bad. I've seen worse. The co-feature about the Brandon Rios John Murray fight, that kid was busted up bad. A lot worse than Margarito, and he had both eyes shut.
And Margarito said he wanted to die in the ring.
Yeah, that's him. Like, he was ready to go. He was like, mm-hmm. Come on, let's go. Now, I mean, also too, keep in mind, New York brought in an eye surgeon to make sure he was the one that made the call. So, I mean, the cards were stacked against Margarito.
Hey, but what do you guys think about that as boxers? Because I was like, Hector and I were having this discussion. And obviously, you know, Hector loves boxing, but I was thinking sometimes as a fighter, you really, it's hard to make that decision for yourself because you put in your training cap and you're just like, man, forget it. I want to just get out there and just fight, right?
But you have to think about your health.
Well, if a doctor says, hey, dude, you can't fight anymore, man, you get hit one more time, you're going to be in big trouble. It's almost like, and I know you don't want to quit because you don't want people to think, oh, you're a quitter, but. Don't you think it's better if the doctor makes that decision instead of you making it? You know, because if the ref says, hey, how many fingers? And you're like, yeah, I can say three fingers, but I mean, I'm, you know, my face hurts, right? You don't want to say that because you can be like, oh, you're
wrong. I'd rather get stopped ahead of time than going on, getting a further injury and then never being able to box ever again.
Yeah, so. Or having something linger, I guess, right?
Yeah. Hindsight's 20/20, man. I mean, some guys feel they could do something. I mean, when it was stopped, I mean, there was still 6 minutes to go. Some guys still think they could pull it out. I mean, only Margarito knows how bad the injury was. Me, personally, had it been as bad, I mean, I didn't see urgency in his corner like, oh, you know, we're hurting. They're like, hey, the fight is still going on, but we've got two more rounds for you to do something.
That's a long time, though, man. You talk about, you know, three, four-minute rounds being a long time. Imagine when you're pulling that toward the end, man, your body's already fatigued. Or
to me, the stoppage seemed more like New York jumping the gun than, you know, a real sense of urgency being there.
But what's the big deal about New York, though?
I mean, no, the State Athletic Commission of New York.
I know, but they won't even allow MMA there. So, I mean, just boxing's really the only combat sport that they allow in there, right?
And I still don't understand that. I mean, what's the deal with MMA?
Because kicks are deadly. No, I'm just
kidding. Never mind.
Yeah, I was just curious about that, you know, because I know sometimes even in MMA fights, like the, like somebody will ask, are you okay? And the guy's going, yeah, of course, man. You spent 8 weeks in a camp or whatever getting ready. You're not just going to be like, all right, man.
Well, there's a lot of factors, you know. A lot of these guys, too, you know, they're like, I want to win. I want to get paid. You know, I want the bigger purse. I want, you know, a lot of these guys, the adrenaline's flowing.
Yeah.
They don't really know how hurt they are. You know, they just want to finish it out. You know, that third party's got to be the ones that, you know, they really look out for the fighter safety.
Yeah, when you guys have a tough fight, does it feel worse the next day or, you know, a couple hours after you guys leave the ring?
Lewis, you want to take this one?
Yeah, I'll take this one. Thanks. The next day, man.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah, the next day. That's all I'll say. Yeah. I mean, I felt it right away.
How about you, Santiago? I mean, I know you had, Lewis was saying that the previous fight, I mean, you had a pretty good four rounds or how many rounds?
The guy was tough. He took, you know, he took all my shots, but I didn't really receive anything from him. So I still haven't felt what Lewis feels. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Larry?
I haven't really been hit too much, but I've only had two fights also. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And I'm fighting with headgear, so.
Oh, okay. I'm just kind of curious on how you guys feel, like, you know, after the fact.
You could get in the ring and you could feel it for
yourself.
Hey,
we could do whatever. I hope you can stop my takedown because you're going to be in trouble on your back.
can I wear a gi?
Yeah, can I wear a gi?
It's going to be a wicked takedown and a choke.
But since you bring it up, because it's different too, because like in the amateurs, also the gloves are different too, man. I mean,
what are they? How big are they?
Well it's
they're more cushiony.
Yeah, I mean, in the amateurs, the gloves are made to absorb impact.
The gloves are. Okay.
Yeah, the gloves are. I mean, they're made to reduce damage. In the pros, no. The gloves are made to maximize impact.
But what is it? What are they, like amateur? 20 ounces?
No. Amateurs, they wear 12 and 10s, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
I think I wore 10s.
Yeah, in my fights. Yeah, 12 and 10s.
And headgear?
Yes.
Okay. And headgear. And in the pros, it's 8s and 10s. And when you see, like, say, I don't know if you ever got to, I mean, you guys, mostly like at Nokia, you guys wearing the Everlast, right?
Well, I requested Cletos.
Oh, you sick bastard. Yeah, if you see like a Cleto Reyes glove, dude. Oh, dude, that's goat skin, dude. And you see, dude, like all the cushioning is at the front of the glove, dude. And I mean, it's pulled back tight. I mean, once your hand is wrapped and your hand's in the glove, you're like, ready to just nail somebody.
Okay.
That feels pretty good.
Yeah, it feels real good, dude. With the amateur gloves, you put them in and yeah, it's a lot more cushiony. I mean, it's rock 'em sock 'em robot time, man. Yeah, but once a pro glove is on, whew. I remember one time we did a show at a Stephen's Steakhouse and we'd had amateur fights on the undercard. And Larry Urban from State Athletic Commission comes in and he goes, that's all right, go with the pro gloves, use pro wraps. The amateurs were like, what? When they put the pro gloves on, they're like, Jesus, they had 10 ounce. But when you looked at the 10 ounce pro glove to compare to an amateur one, it looks tiny.
Yeah.
It looks tiny. It's a different glove, man.
Did anybody get hurt?
Huh? No, it didn't matter. We didn't even pay those guys. I mean, they're amateurs. That's messed up. Come on.
But do those gloves really? Do they really help an amateur though? I mean, you've probably seen a lot. Have you done a lot of fights? Do the big gloves really help?
Well, I mean, for the amateurs, you mind? You're also shortened down to three rounds, and it depends. Also, I mean, the length of the rounds. Some are 1 minute. It could, depending on their age, 1.5, 2, 2.5 minute, 3 minute.
Okay,
that would help with the fatigue, right? Like a heavier glove, you know. It's gonna wear on you later, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I felt that kind of like doing, you know, in sparring, just wearing the, you know, just wearing the 14s and stuff and work, you know, it become like weights too after a while and start to get tired.
Yeah, because the gloves get soaked up with sweat, so.
That's crazy.
So I can imagine in like, you know, a fight and stuff, and when it goes into the later, you know,
The glove absorbs sweat, absorbs blood, and then it becomes more weight on the hand.
Well, you got to make use plaster.
Then you got to make a ShamWow glove, dude. ShamWow. So you can just squeeze all the sweat out of it, dude.
Did anyone see that picture that was floating around? I know it came up again with Cotto, with this fight. Margarito being carried, and then they showed that hand wrap that looked like it had a crack on it.
Yeah, it was plastic. Honestly, it looked like a piece of string to me.
Look, because people say, also, what about the red mark? Like if you ever put on a brand new pair of Reyes, after you're done using them, your hand wrap's going to be red.
Yeah.
One thing that I tell people about you, oh, the hand wrap, no, they had plaster. Look, if I wrap your hand and I put a brick on your knuckles, what's going to happen when you hit something?
It's going to hurt you too.
You're going to break something.
I'm going to break the brick.
Everyone except Chris when they hit something. But if you're going to load a wrap, you're not going to do it over the knuckles. You're going to do it over under here. Give more weight to your hand when it lands. You're not going to put it up here. That's one of the things I saw when I said it sounded dumb.
Well, that's a pretty good perspective from you guys that are involved in boxing, because I think a lot of the time when you hear comments, they come from people who don't box or people who are, I call them couch coaches. You know what I mean? Like, oh, I should have done this, or
guys on HBO and ESPN. I mean, what?
Why are they bad or what?
Sometimes
you ain't getting a job there now. Yeah, talking smack. Huh.
I like it here, dude.
Yeah. I hope you like your paycheck. 0.0.
We're back.
So, guys, for everyone listening, where can they find you? Did you guys have fan pages or anything?
Let's go down the list real quick so people at home.
Well, all the ladies that are listening and they want to contact you.
His girlfriend's right over there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, it's to the group. It's to the group.
Dude, he felt those burning eyes in the back of his sweater, dude. Wow. Man. Okay. Hey, go ahead, Lewis. Tell us where people can find you if they're looking for you. I know you're not a social network guy.
Lincoln Heights, California.
All right.
Or the freeway. No, it's fine.
Freeway.
Or if you wanted to, just shout out to your teammates.
Yeah,
I want to
shout out D-Cop Clothing, first of all, for helping us out with all the shirts and, all the support. And then... first and not least, of course, family. Because, family is always supporting us. All the fans that we have so far. And just anybody else who's willing to, to start supporting us. Because, we're not going to stop and we're going to keep going.
Your coaches up at your gym?
Yeah, my coach. All my coaches, Mando Huerta, Tony, Saravia, Yukita, Pablo. And, all our teammates, I want to shout them out and let them know that, we're not going to let them down. Because three of us here, and one of us in the amateur. So, but he's training with pros already. So,
yeah, you get there, man. What about you, Larry? What you got, buddy?
You can find me at decomclothing.net. I have one of my email addresses there. I live in Monterey Park and...
Sid.
Thank you, Decom Clothing. Thank you, family and friends, for supporting. That's pretty much it.
All right. Santiago?
You can find me on Facebook, Santiago Guevara, out of Montebello, California.
How many friends you got on there?
I don't know, like 300.
Oh, dude, we're going to double your friends by...
Just by your appearance on this show, dude.
My time radio is going
to
hook you up.
Shout out to Decom, my boy hooking it up, and... shout out to Skid Row Studios. It's a pleasure,
Oh, thanks, man.
Thank and shout outs to the Maywood family, man. All my teammates.
There you go.
All my coaches, that make this possible for me.
All right. Shout out to your girlfriend, too, for coming.
And my girl, Diane.
All right, everyone. Well, hey, guys, thanks for stopping in. Thanks, D-Comp. And, much success and good luck with everything you guys do.
See you at our next fights, man. You guys are going to be there?
We'll
take the studio over there.
We were talking about that. We'll take a remote mic and do some interviews, but you guys have to promise you have to knock the fuck somebody out.
Sounds good.
Oh, all right. If you don't, you owe me $100.
$100?
Got it? And if you do it, then congrats.
You owe us $100.
Nah, we ain't got that money.
And we're
busy.
Last but not least, I want to give one special shout out.
I got to get back to the library.
I want to give one special shout out to one of our buddies that's in Puerto Vallarta right now. Jose Gonzalez, former teammate of mine and Chris's. I was just out there in Mexico last week, reunited with him, had a great time with him. Want to send a shout out to him, his wife Veronica, his two kids,
And the goat you guys slaughtered today.
And the goat, yes, and the lamb that we slaughtered, man.
And where's my bottle of tequila?
Hey, bro, it's at the pad. I got you covered.
Oh, you're in Puerto Vallarta?
No, he, dude, my boy drove 7 hours from Puerto Vallarta to where I was staying at my grandfather's ranch. But I hadn't seen the guy in 16 years, man. Yeah. Former wrestling teammate.
I was going to say, if you're in Puerto Vallarta, I mean, they practically give out, you know, tequila at the airport, you know.
No, our buddy runs a fishing boat company.
Sport fishing, yeah. Man. He's a captain on sport.
Cool cat too. If you guys are ever out there, just let us know.
Look up Jose Gonzalez, dude.
Jose Gonzalez.
He's on El Facebook.
Yeah, no, actually, no, dude. It's not El Facebook. It's Caralibro.
Caralibro.
That's what they call it. But yes, shout out to Jose, his wife Veronica, his two kids, Isla and Mario.
So what do they call Twitter?
I don't know. I don't tweet. Yo no le hago el tweet.
Machete don't tweet.
Machete don't tweet. They call it Twitter.
Twitter.
And they roll the R.
Did all right, everybody. Thanks for stopping in. Until next time.
Hey, don't forget. You guys can when this show comes out, you guys can download it on iTunes or pick it up on Stitcher.
Or you can just listen to it directly through the SkidRowStudios.com website as well.
You'll see it on Facebook too.
Yeah, Skid Row Studios got a bunch of other shows lined up.
I gotta get a Facebook now.
Uh-oh. See?
Uh-oh. All right, man.
Lewis? All right, everyone. Until next week.
Yes, sir.
Take care.
This is DCOM Clothing at Mad Time Radio. Call us at 800-893-9562.